And as we get going here, well, Dan, I hope I don't let you down, and Sally, I hope I surprised you. Here we go. Good morning and Happy New Year, and welcome to Shepherd's Gate. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mark Showman, and I'm one of the elders here at Shepherd's Gate. Forgive me if I seem a little nervous this morning, but I don't normally speak. As a matter of fact, in the 27 years that I've been a believer in Christ, this is the second time. So not only is it my second sermon, but virtually everything that I've learned in the Christian faith is from people that are probably here in this room. So I've been sitting under Chris Stewart's teaching for 27 years of my Christian life. Coming from the Catholic Church, Chris's style of preaching really helped me understand who God was and that he sent his son Jesus for me. And the reason he did that was because of me. How fortunate was I and am I to be able to sit under Chris's teaching almost weekly. My father-in-law, Paul Rohart, is here today. As most of you know, he's been known to be able to preach a sermon or two. And if you're in the front row, you even get this three, you know, they get the effects and everything. I've had the pleasure to pass 26 years to watch how this man has conducted himself as a husband, a father, a grandfather, a father-in-law, and a friend to all around him. I've been fortunate enough to be able to be in a Bible study with him for 10 years. And some of you were in that study with us. He has a wonderful desire and drive to win others for Christ. Thank you, Paul, for your wonderful example. Normally, Bob Tenhagen is here. And Bob has been such an encouragement to me in my walk in the Lord and in my leadership role. He was Kelly's and my premarital counselor and took part in our wedding. He is and has been a great counsel to me over the years. I'm going, this thing's going to fall off. Kelly, my wife, who is my biggest cheerleader and my best critic. Yes, you can have a best critic. Kelly introduced me to Christ. And she bangs me on the side of the head when I get things out of order. I wouldn't have it any other way because I wouldn't be the man today I am today if it wasn't for Kelly. Early on, I nicknamed Kelly my stray cat. Have you ever seen a stray cat? They come up to you and they push you at your heels and you smack them away and you walk a little further and they're back at your heels. Everyone needs a stray cat in their life. Thank you, Kelly. And you know, I've even given my children the freedom to correct me. And believe you me, they do. And I appreciate it because they want Dad to be the most Christ-like dad there is. Finally, many of you have encouraged me and prayed for me and have shared scriptures with me and are here. Thank you all for your love and support. Come to think of it, if I don't get this sermon right, either I wasn't listening very well or you didn't teach me very well. So, why don't you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these individuals that have spoken into my life and to others' lives that have allowed you to use them as your conduit to your word. Father, just pray that may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing to you this morning. Amen. Okay. I want you to pretend with me for a while. Everyone was, were you all given a little mirror? If you don't have one, raise your hand and we'll get you one. All right, if everyone's got that mirror, Phil, I think over here. Phil. Take that mirror and hold it up. You got to put it a little far away. Sorry it's small, but we're going to pretend it's a little bigger than what it is. So now would be a good time if you got, guys, if you got something in your teeth or women need to fix your hair a little bit. Do that. Hold that mirror up. And as we look at it, I want you to repeat after me. It is not about me. As I speak today, I want us all to remember, we were not put on this earth for ourselves. We were put on this earth to glorify our God. Also, it's easy as we're listening to a sermon or a speech to think of others. Now, I'm sure glad Joe was here today because he really needed to hear that. Or where was Betty? Gosh, that would have been a great sermon for her to listen to. So one more time, let's put it up. And we look at it and we say, it's not about me. Okay, now keep that held up there. And repeat after me. I am responsible for my own behavior. Responsible for my own behavior. And let's do it again. I am responsible for my own behavior. Okay, now listen to that. Look at that person next to you, beside of you, and repeat after them. It's not about me. And I am responsible for my own behavior. And look at, do it again to the next person beside you. It's not about me, and I am responsible for my own behavior. All right, good. Thanks for humoring me. You go ahead and put that mirror down. As I was in a steering committee meeting over a month ago, and just so you know, you guys probably have the two guys leading the service here, probably the most emotional. So you may see some tears this morning. You've already seen a little bit from Dan, but you will probably from me as well. As I was in the steering committee a month ago, I was feeling a bit overwhelmed with some of the relational things that were happening within the body. Some of which have been involved because of me. And others I was involved in because of my position being an elder. I'd been praying and seeking counsel about all these situations. And for some reason, it all came to a head at this steering committee that night, and I broke down. It had finally come to me. The honeymoon is over. We moved into this building on Easter of last year after 5 months of working shoulder to shoulder with each other. And it was a very exciting time. We were all helping to transform this building into a place of ill repute, from a place of ill repute into a place of worship. And what a beautiful job we did. If you look around. We all had fun doing that, right? Except for Bob Haskins, who was getting beat up by the city. We all did good. We all had it was a great time. We did it. Then came the open house and the neighbors came in. How exciting. Then we started to feel our way around, and now we have begun to settle in. And now, folks, the honeymoon is over. Some of us are squeezing the toothpaste in the middle, and it's beginning to annoy others. Some of us are leaving our clothes on the floor, and it's beginning to annoy others. Some of us are leaving the dishes in the sink or on the counter, and it's beginning to annoy others. Some of us have great ideas or just need to be heard. And others think they have better ideas. And because they are more vocal, it shuts the other people down. Folks, the honeymoon is over. When Kelly and I were first married and we were living in our house at the base of Mount Tabor, we were in the family room watching TV. During the commercial, I got up to get a drink. As I was walking out into the family room, she looked at me and she said, "You're not a bachelor anymore." Without missing a beat, I said, "I know, I'm bringing you a drink." I handed Kelly the drink and then proceeded to go pour myself one. It wasn't a big deal, but the message was received. Without realizing it, I got things out of order. You see, I put myself, my needs, in front of another individual. My only care was solving my thirst. I didn't even think Kelly may be thirsty until she mentioned those words, "You are not a bachelor anymore." See what impact they had on my life? I remember it just like it was yesterday. This is exactly what is beginning to happen to us. What order am I talking about? I'm talking about Jesus, others, yourselves. This is the only order we can have if we want pure joy. However, being the fallen people we are, it is easy to get the order all mixed up when we are not focused on this order. We must be aware at all times what the order is, or we are robbing ourselves and others of joy. What is joy? Is it not happiness? I don't believe so. Joy is so much more than happiness. Happiness has to do with what happens to me. It is dependent upon the situation. And remember what we said at the beginning. It's not about me. Happiness is always dependent on the situation, the circumstances. Joy is not dependent on what happens to me. We find out in James 1:2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." How can you experience joy when you're going through a trial? Because I'm almost certain you can't experience happiness when you're going through a trial. You experience joy while you're going through a trial because it's not about you. It is and always will be about Jesus first, others second, and you third. I contend that if you're going through a trial now and you're not feeling joy, then you are thinking that you deserve happiness, and you have the two confused. I spoke with Emily King over the phone a couple weeks ago. Asked her about her chemo, how her chemo session went. And you know, I call her up, and Emily, this is Mark, and I'm just checking in, how'd chemo go the other day? I waited a day or two. And she said, well, get this sad voice on her phone, they weren't able to give me all the medication. So I got to go back. She was down and discouraged. She was in a place where most of us would be. But remember, Emily is just asking my question. She's just answering my question, and she's being truthful, and that's what I wanted. You know, but then something wonderful took place, and I think you heard a little bit about that last week. Emily said, you know, Mark, during my time when I was able to talk to people about Jesus, Emily went from here to here. When she directly answered my question, she's down here. But when she started talking about others and Jesus, she was up here. You see, Emily was able to experience pure joy during her trial because she was caring about others before herself, and she was pointing them to Jesus. Folks, that is where I believe we need to go, and we need to get there fast. We are confused about joy and happiness. I believe we need to get a clear understanding of this order, because in my estimation, we are at a pivotal point in Shepherd's Gate existence. I believe how we manage 2016 will either make or break us. But you know what? Don't despair. God has given us a way out. He has given us a new commandment. Listen up, folks. God has given us a new commandment, and that commandment can be found in John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's see where that stage, let's set the stage of where that came from. You know, Jesus is up washing the disciples' feet, fitting that we're going to have communion today. So let me read that. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And we got to love Simon Peter because he says, "Then, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. You know, more is better. Let's do it." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean. But not all of you, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, "Well, for so I am." If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that scripture may be fulfilled: he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed with whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And we know that is John. He's laying back. They're laying down. Jesus is laying down. John has his head back on his chest. He can see Simon Peter across the room, and Simon motions to him and says, "Ask him who it was. Who is it?" And John leans his head back and he says to him quietly, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus looks down at John and he says, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he had said this to him. For some thought, because Jesus had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast." Or they, he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I have said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus says it's a new commandment. And haven't we heard this before? Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." But in Matthew 5:43-48, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, the Jewish teachers knew their neighbors as their own country, their nation, and their religion. They were pleased to look upon them as friends. And what Jesus is saying here is that it's very easy to love your own countrymen, but it's much harder to love those outside your country. Remember, at this time, those who were not Jews were not chosen and were looked down upon as second-class citizens. Jesus is saying it is much more difficult to love those who are not like you. Yes, we should love our neighbors, but if you want to be perfect, you're going to need to love your enemies. This is where we can now begin to understand Jesus' new commandment. I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We are commanded to love one another, not as we love ourselves, but how Jesus loves us. That is how we are to love one another. Jesus was perfect. He was without blemish. Therefore, how he loves us is a perfect, and it's without blemish, and that is how we are supposed to love one another. And because we love each other this way, all will know we're disciples of Jesus. Easy peasy, right? Well, we find in John 15:13 that greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Are you prepared to do this? We've seen a lot of shootings going on in the news, and it's kind of been on our minds. You know, are we prepared to do this? Are you ready? Oh, okay, well, I can say I'm ready, but the time comes. How will I know? You know, you're right. You won't know until that time comes. It's easy to say so now, but we won't know. Okay, so let me make it a little simpler for you. How about, and for us, how about in 1 Corinthians 13:5, we find that love does not behave rudely. Whew. That's an easy one, because I'm not rude. Well, let's see. Webster defines rude as not having or showing concern or respect for the rights and feelings of other people. Not polite. Let me read that again. Not having or showing concern or respect for the rights and feelings of other people. Not polite. Am I rude? Of course I am. But I have a stray cat. Do you? Look at some synonyms of rude. Audacious, bold, bold-faced, brash, brassy, brazen, cheeky, which is rude and showing a lack of respect, often in a way that seems playful or amusing. Fresh, impudent, insolent, lippy, sassy, saucy, shameless, catish, churish, churlish, which is difficult to work with or deal with. Clownish, loudish, Scrabble people, there's some good stuff here. Crusty, curt, gruff, sharp, snippety, snippy, antisocial, crabbed, cross, disagreeable, grumpy, sullen, surly, improper, incorrect, indecent, unseemly, arrogant, bumptious, conceited, haughty, high-handed, imperious, peremptory, pompous, presumptuous, pretentious, supercilious, superior, boorish, which implies rudeness of manner due to insensitiveness to others' feelings and unwillingness to be agreeable. Read that again. Boorish, rudeness of manner due to insensitiveness to others' feelings and unwillingness to be agreeable. Paul is saying that love does not behave in this manner. And yes, it is a principle of manners. Rudeness describes the person who does not care enough for those they are around enough to act becomingly or polite. This individual cares nothing for others' feelings or insensitivities. Folks, love does not elbow its way into conversations, worship services, committees, events, etc. The Greek word schema, a little Chris right here, means shape or plan. This is where we get the word scheme or schematic. It refers not to the substance of a thing or person, but to its outward appearance, the shape it takes before others. Paul here is concerned not only with the Christian's character, but with the way he or she accepts this character, expresses this character outwardly. Some Christians think it makes no difference whether they speak bluntly or tactfully, as long as they speak the truth. Paul begs to differ. Paul says the manner of our speech and actions does make the difference. Paul relates our behavior to shape rather than substance. It is the pattern and not the fabric. When we buy clothing, we are interested in how the fabric feels, what the quality is like, and how these clothes make us look. God is interested in not only the shape of the fabric, the quality of the feel, but He is interested in the plan of the fabric as well, that it does look the part. You see, some of us boast about our bluntness as if it is a virtue to slap people in the face with truth. And our friends say, oh, they mean well. You know, that's just how they are. Well, Galatians 5:15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, be aware lest you be consumed by one another. Folks, this is not okay. Jesus gave us the new commandment, as I have loved you, so you also love one another. Paul is telling us and the Christians at Corinth the same thing. The presentation is as important as the present. We just got done with giving gifts to our family and loved ones. I can bet that not many of these gifts, if any, were just put in a brown bag and handed to the recipient. You'd be killed, huh, Gordy? No, we took time to find the right paper or decorative bag, and we created a presentation. In the same way, we are to create a presentation of love when we are dealing with people. A love like Jesus. Remember, it is Jesus, others, and ourselves. Any other order, and that presentation is all wrong. It's just a brown bag. We all formed Shepherd's Gate because we wanted and needed to start fresh. We have said from the beginning that we will start with a blank whiteboard and let the Holy Spirit color it in. The only way we can have the Holy Spirit color it in if we are assured that we have things in the correct order. And it's got to be Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last. I firmly believe that if we are to move forward in a community that needs Jesus, then we need to get this right. We need to love one another as Jesus, as God, has loved us. We need to be different than the world. We need to stand apart in a Christian way. I was thinking, how can we do this? What would this look like at Shepherd's Gate for people who don't know us and they come walking in that door, and they can tell we are different by our love for one another? And this is what I came up with. Are you ready? Here goes. In 2016, we need to be transparent with one another. You see, sin hides behind closed doors. We need to open up with each other about the sin in our life. This is going to take an incredible amount of trust in order to be transparent. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You can do this with a friend, or spouse, or a ministry group. You can do this during sharing. The deal is, we need to be confessing our sins. We need to share our struggles with each other. Galatians 6, we read, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deserves himself." Unlike any church that I've ever seen, we have a perfect avenue to hear what burdens we can bear for each other. We have sharing each and every Sunday. Let's do church differently in 2016. Let's not hide our sins or our burdens from one another. How is your marriage? Can we pray for you? How are you being a good steward? Are you being a good steward? Are you struggling with that? Can we pray for you? Are you giving in to drunkenness? Can we pray for you? Are you giving in to pornography? Can we pray for you? Are we complainers? Is the music too loud? Do we play hymns? We don't play contemporary fast enough. Can we pray for you? Are we those drivers out there, the people that stand in line and we're like, gosh, can they go faster? Can anyone do something different? Can you just get out of my way because I got the order wrong today and get out of my way? We can't have our order wrong, guys. We have to get that order right. It has to be Jesus, others, ourselves. You know, do we leave things for others to do? Do we not pick up after ourselves? Don't worry, they'll clean it up. How about we spill? Well, the carpet's got some spills on it. One more, no one's going to notice it. Let's not worry about it. I don't got time. Do we have the right order? Jesus, others, yourselves. Guys, that's the only way we can do it. 2016. Every time you think and you see the word joy, you've got to put that in proper perspective, and it's Jesus, others, yourself. It's the only way we can get to, are you loving one another as Jesus loved us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your commandment. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing how you love us. Thank you for giving us perspective. Thank you for the nudge that you've given us today that we can put in the right perspective, Jesus, others, yourself. Father, I thank you for each and every one of the people here at Shepherd's Gate that you've given us to be able to worship together and to love one another. Help us share each other's burdens and carry those burdens. Help us lean on one another, Lord. Help us trust each other. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.